Following top of Lamed Vav Amud Aleph, middle of the discussion, we started yesterday with the question of, given that our Mishnah said that if a Kohen is, that if there's a neder, that a certain Yisrael is not allowed to have Hanah from a certain Kohen, nevertheless, that Kohen is allowed to bring Korbanos on his behalf, and that brought us into a discussion whether the Kohenim are essentially the Shluchim of us Jewish people, of us Yisraelim, or are they essentially Shluchim of Hashem? Where the idea being, we argued, that if there are shluchim on the face of it, how could they be bringing korbanos on behalf of somebody who's murder hana? So far we went through that's not necessarily because the Mishnah is talking about cases where it's mechusrei kapara. So then you could argue that's a different type of korban. You could argue since it doesn't require das bailim, maybe that's different. Maybe that's not.
Which one?
The ones that we talked about in the Mishnah, the ones for the Mechutzrei Kapara, the Zav, the Zava, etc. That since to begin with you don't even need the das of the actual Zav or Zava, as the case may be, to bring the carbon, because we learn from Sukkim, from Zois Tardas, that you can even bring it on behalf of your children who are below Bar Bas Mitzvah and therefore have no das. So we see no das is necessary in order to bring it. Same thing then, in that case, you could argue that the Kohenim are able to bring these Korbanos on behalf of the Zavar, or Yoldos, or what have you, without running afoul of the Neder. That doesn't tell us about other Korbanos necessarily. Or, as the Ram said, we could argue...
Because
you don't need das. We could argue the other way around, as the Ram said. These Korbanos cause a Hanah, because now you're allowed to eat from Kachim. Other Korbanos don't, so maybe... So either way, you can't really tell one way from or the other from the Mishnah. Okay. So we're holding Lamed Vav Amud Aleph off the top. Mosi Rav Shimi Ba'aba. So Rav Shimi Ba'aba asks a question. You, of course, thank you. Yeah, thanks. Lamed Vav Amud Aleph. Mosi Rav Shimi Ba'aba. You're telling me that you're telling me then that our Mishnah is talking only about cases of Mechusrei Kapara, but I can find you a Braisa that seems to say different. Im Hoya Koyin, the Braisa says that if the person who's Mudur Hana is a or the person, the one who you're Mudur Hana from, rather, is a Koyin, Yizrikal of Dam Chatosev Dam Ashamoy, then he can still sprinkle on his behalf the blood of his Chatos or the blood of his Asham. Now, in the Mishnah, we have Chatoris Vashomois.
So what is that?
Well, the problem with that is, Mela in the Mishnah, when we had Chatoris Vashomois, since it was following on the list of Kinezov and Kinezovus and Kineyodas, then we assume that in the Mishnah we're talking about the Chatas and the Ashram of a Mitzvah, in order, because then it all goes together. You have the four kinds of Mechusrei Kapara, three of them, the Zav, the Zava, and the Yodas, just bring a Chatas and an Ashram. Chatas and an Ola. A Mitzvah in addition brings an Asham, which no other Mechusrei Kapara does. So therefore we can understand that in the Mishnah, Chataris Vashamais didn't necessarily mean all Chatas and all Asham, just specifically the one for Mitzvah. But here the Braisa is listing them alone, first of all, so that seems to imply first of all, the Ran points out, why isn't Rav Shimi Ba'ash pointing out from our Mishnah? So one possibility is maybe indeed he didn't have the Girsa Chataris Vashamis in our Mishnah. Maybe he had the Girsa in our Mishnah, only Kinezov and Kinezovus and Kineyodus. Okay, but then the Ran says you don't really need to say that. You could say that again, like I was just saying, that given that in the Mishnah it's a continuation of the list of Zavin, Zavis, and Yodas, then necessarily we know it must mean the one of the Mitzvah. Whereas here, we're listing them on their own, not necessarily, it doesn't mean only those, but Pashtus, it means any Chatas or any Asham. Well, any Chatas or any Asham, you're back to the question, those require the Das of it. So it just says Chatas of Ashamai, Dam Chatas of Dam Ashamai.
And why is it speaking about the one that you also are known?
That's the point, because the Kohen is, you're also to have Anar from this Kohen, but we're still saying that Kohen can sprinkle the blood of your Chatas or your Asham. Now, Mela, you could argue if it was the case of Mechusa Kapara, fine, like we said yesterday, it doesn't require Das Bailim, that's different. A regular Chatas or a regular Ashram does require Das Bailim. You can't, if Reuven is high of a Chatas, then Shimon can't go bring a Chatas on his behalf without informing Reuven. So you do need Das, so by the same token, you need his consent. Therefore, by the same token, then the Kohen can't bring it without the knowledge of the owner of the person who's actually chayev, a regular Asham or a regular Chatas. Furthermore, also Tosfos points out another detail. Also, the fact that we have the expression Chatas Soy VaAsham Moy implies like the Chatas of the Asham that he's chayev because of his specific avera. for example, a chatas because he ate chalev, or an osham because of gzelos or me'ilos or what have you. Either way, the point is that it seems to be saying any chatas or any osham. The answer is no. Again, it means dam chatas yisham atzera, but dam asham yisham atzera. Again, you could argue that the b'raisa means only the chatas of the matzera and the osham of the matzera. On the basis of, because we can't prove otherwise, we're trying to prove whether Kohenim are Shluchei D'Rachmana or Shluchei D'Dan. We wanted to prove, Reb Shimi Bahaber is trying to prove from this Braisa that it must be Shluchei D'Rachmana. But not necessarily. If the Braisa is talking about only the Korbanos of a Metzora, and not a regular Chatas or regular Asham, then it could be that they're Shluchei D'Dan, and we're back to the thing that you don't need Dan.
There's nothing to disprove,
basically, yeah. And how do we know that the same thing applies to the Metzora? We learned yesterday how we know that this applies to a Zav or a Zava, because you have the word Zois Torah. We talked about also, we wanted to say that it applies to a Yeledes, and we said it can't apply to a Ktana, because a Ktana can't be a Yeledes, but we said it could apply to a Shoita. So now what about by the Metzora, the fourth Mechosu Kapara? Where do we see that? Same idea, Zois Tia Torah Metzora, because the Pasuk says this should be the Torah of the Metzora. Again, implying Ben Gadol, Ben Katan, whether he's an adult, whether he's a child. A child of the Metzora, his father, can still bring the Korbanos on his behalf, which goes to show again that you don't need Das for it.
Because it says
Zois Tordas. For the Metzora. So just like it said Zois Tordas by the Zov, and we said that meant whether he's a child or an adult, just like it said Zois Tordas a Yelodis, and we said that means whether she's a Shoiter or whether she's normal, the same thing, Zois Tordas a Metzora means regardless whether he's a cotton or a Shoiter or what a Cher or Shoiter of a cotton, whatever, or regular. So still no proof. Let's consider. There's another. The Mishnah in Gittin tells us, "Hakoyinim shepiglu b'mikdash, koyinim who created pigul in the b'mikdash. Pigul we've had many times. Notably in Yuma, we had a lot of discussion about it. Is where the koyin is doing one of the four major avodas of a korban, has in mind doing that avoda called Machsheves Zman. He has in mind that the blood will be sprinkled the next day, or the meat will be eaten beyond the time that it's allowed to be eaten, either on the third day for a Shlomim, on the second day for a Chatas, etc. The Korban then is called Pigul, and anybody who eats from it is Chayav Kares. Now, so the Kohenim are the ones doing the Avodah. They're the ones, therefore, whose Machshava is relevant over here. It's actually, by the way, a discussion between Rashi and Tosfos in Menachos, whether when we say Machshava over here, are we talking about just thinking it in their head, or are we talking about actually verbalizing it? Whatever, that's not really Negeah for our purpose. We talked about it, yeah. Anyway. So Kohenim shepiglu b'mikdash, Kohenim who created pigul in the Beis Mikdash by having the wrong intention when they were doing one of the avodas of a korban, mizidin chayovin, if they do it b'mezid, then they are chayav to repay the owner because they caused them a loss. He's, let's say, bringing a chatas. Now they made it pigul with their thought. Now he has a niyosa, his chatas. They have to bring another one. They caused them a loss. And Rashi points out over there, even if it was a korban that ain't chayav bakri, so even if it was, let's say, for example, he said harezu ola, for example, he said this animal will be an ola, where, as we've learned before, if the animal dies or becomes a balmum or what have you, he's not obligated to bring another one. So you could argue that he hasn't suffered a loss. Still, he suffered a loss. He wanted to bring a present to the Eibishter, and now he can't. So the kohen has to repay him the value of the animal.
Does the kohen have to reveal that he has bad thoughts?
That's what we're going to talk about, b'shogeg versus b'mezid. Wait. So b'mezidin chayavim, so if they did b'mezid, they're chayav, ha'shogeg in p'turin. However, we see from that, the implication is, or on the side here it says, v'toni Allah, that there's a b'raisa that furthermore says, that if they're shogeg, they're potter, eloshep, v'toni Allah, and then it says a b'raisa on it, eloshepig blon pigul. Regardless, whether it was b'mezid or b'shogeg, either way, the pigul is a pigul. You don't say that because it was b'shogeg, for example, you don't say that maybe it shouldn't be considered pigul. Now, iamet b'shlemish shlocha d'shmaya have
pigul, in other words,
right, even b'shogeg. So the Gemara discusses over there, by the way, the Gemara discusses there in Gittin, that's where this Mishnah is, what is it basically? Is it that midaraisa you should be potter whether b'shogeg or b'mezid? Because you could look at it, it's called nezek chain and nicker, that's machlokas over there, nezek chain and nicker. A nezek which is not noticeable, not in the sense of not noticeable, like you could see it if you looked with a magnifying glass, but in the sense, you can't, if you looked at a korban that was pigul versus one that's not, you wouldn't be able to tell a difference, it's a ruchni sticker difference. There's a few other examples of that, you do malacha with part of water, for example. That's called nezek shein and nicker, that there is a hezek over there. The fact is this korban is posel, that these parah d'rumah ashes are posel, what have you. But It's not something you would be able to see mitzloshe koyin. Is that considered a nezek or not? One way of looking at it is, Torah is not considered a nezek. Nezek shein nikar lo shmei nezek. So really, even if the koyin did it b'mezid, he should be chayev. But we say that if he did it b'mezid, we put a knaf on him. We make him pay for it. And then going back to what you were saying about telling the owner, the argument is then that we don't make him pay if it was b'shogeg because we want to encourage him to come forward and tell the owner that he did it. Otherwise, the owner is going to end up thinking that the korban was kosher and eating it, if it was a shlomim or whatever, or thinking that he was yotzei his korban, and really he wasn't. So Mela, if he did it b'mezid, he's going to tell the owner anyway, because the whole point why he's doing it b'mezid is to harass the guy. So he's going to go over afterwards and gloat to him, you know what, you gave me your korban to bring and I made it possible and you can't do anything about it. And therefore we can't see him and we make him pay. As opposed to, we want to encourage him to come forward.
What do we make him pay?
We make him pay the value of the animal. The other way of looking at it is, no, nezek shein nikar really is a nezek. Really, he should be high of whether he was shegig or mezid. But mipnei tikkun olam, because in order to make it easier on a person, if he did it for shogeg, then we exempt him from payment. Either way, the point is we see from the implication is, and we have a braisa that says so, that regardless whether it was shogeg or mezid, the piggle was a piggle. The bad machshava had its effect, and the korban is now piggle. So if you say that the Kohenim are considered shluchim of the Eivishter, Heiner, Shepigul, and Pigul, good. Well, that explains why the Pigul was a Pigul, because the Eivishter made you the Shliach. You messed up, fine, but you know, you're still the Eivishter's Shliach, either way. Eli Amet Shluchim Yidan Havu, but if you say that they're shluchim of ours, my Pigul and Pigul, why should it be Pigul? Leimele Shlicha Shavisicha L'takuni V'loi La'avzi. Let him say, I only made you a shliach to do good for me, not to mess up for me. This is a general rule in halachas of shlichus. That's the point. So the Ran says like this. The Ran says the question is from the shogeg case. The mezid case, fine. You can always, the mezid, no, it's not so obvious. The Rashba learns differently. The Rashba learns that the question is both from shogeg and mezid. Because the Rashba learns that the question is basically, since he made it pigle, it shouldn't even be considered avoida, that he did avoida in the first place. It shouldn't even really be considered that it was a valid korban. Instead of pigle, it should be considered possible, basically. But the Ran doesn't learn like that. The Ran learns mezid, fine. You can say the Kohen has made himself no longer the guy's shliach by doing it for mezid. If the shliach changes his shlichus deliberately, then he's no longer a shliach. But if he's doing it for shogeg, where he thought that he's trying to fulfill his shlichus, and then he made a mistake and had the wrong thought, but let the balabas, let the owner of the korban be able to argue, you know what, though, the fact is, I made you a shliach in order to do good for me. If you were going to mess up, I don't want you to be my shliach. So retroactively, in other words, when you have that wrong thought, you're no longer my shliach. So why should we say the korban is pigle? Well, that's the question. Why should we say the korban is pigle? If the korban is the shliach of the Eivishter, then fine. But if he's a shliach of ours, then you have the right to tell your shliach, you know what, I don't like what you did in your shlichus. The same way, for example, is you make a person a shliach to give truma for you, for example. Right. And we learned in truma, so if a guy gives truma not according to your standards, then it's not truma, because I sent you as a shlichus to do the right thing, not to mess up. If you messed up, you're not considered my shliach. Same thing over here, he messed up the shogeg, he shouldn't be considered the guy's shliach. So why is it piggle?
The
Ran learns the question is from only shogeg. The Rashba learns the question is from mezid as well.
Yeah, the shlichus should be canceled in both
cases. That's the point. The Rashba is saying that, no, there's no question the shlichus is canceled in both cases. But in the case, the Ran says when it's mezid, then you could argue, fine, the shliach himself took away his shlichus. He made himself no longer a shliach. So of course it's pigul, fine, because he's not your shliach anymore. He's doing it effectively on his own.
Well, then pigul can happen. Pigul.
Why not? He's the one. No, he's the one. He's the one doing the avoda on his korban.
After the pigul happened, not
no, no,
before.
No, when he had the fourth and then he did the avoda at that point.
He has to be your shliach, or even...
No, that's what the Ran is saying, that even if he's not your shliach, but that's the point, in other words...
He would mess up your korban.
But that's the point, in other words, if it was b'mezid, then he's no longer a shliach, then he's doing it on his own, basically. Then he's just doing it as shlucha d'rachmana. But if he was b'shoedig, he thought he's still a shliach, but you can tell him, you're no longer my shliach. So why is it pigle? Amri. So they answered, Shiny, I mean, Pigul, it's a different one. It comes to Pigul. The Amakra, lo yechosh, lo yechol makam. Where b'chlal do we learn that there's an Isser on the Koyen to make the Korban Pigul? The Pasuk says, lo yechosh, lo, which means the Korban won't be counted for him. But we darshan also, because the Torah is written without Nekudas, we darshan also as if it said, lo yechosh, lo, that he is not allowed to think for him a machsheves soul. So therefore, since the Torah says that, so the Torah is telling us that fact. That even if you could have argued that the guy is no longer your shliach, nevertheless his machshava still has effect, because otherwise it wouldn't have to say lo yechashiv loy. So the very fact that the Torah has to tell the kohen not to have such a machshava tells us, and that his machshava has effect if he does, tells us that he still is considered a shliach. So you can't prove from that. So the point. The Torah could have used a different expression, but whatever. But the point is, you don't have a proof from this. Again, you don't have a proof one way or the other whether the Kohenim are our Shluchim or Shluchim of Hashem. And at this point, the Gemara drops the discussion. And again, so we don't really have a conclusion over here whether the Kohenim are our Shluchim or the Shluchim of...
So from the post-Kohenim, Pigul takes effect whether he is your Shluch or not?
So we still don't really have a proof one way or the other. Again, we have Gemaras in other places in Shas that explain based on logic that the Kohenim are Shluchim d'Rachmana, but our Gemara doesn't do that, either because it wanted a proof from a Mishnah of Braisa and it wasn't able to find one, or because we're trying to find out maybe they're mainly Shluchim d'Rachmana but a little bit Shluchim d'Dan as well. Interesting side note, by the way, there's a family name that some Kohenim have, Kashdan. Where does that name come from? It stands for Kahani Shlucha D'Rachmana, you know. That's the Kohenim of the Shlucha of Hashem.
But isn't it
which is not true?
No, but according to our Gemara, it didn't come to a conclusion. But in other places, it comes to the conclusion that yes. Yeah, that was before Mantar, yeah. Before the Chatego. Okay, let's continue. We have ground cover. Gufa. Getting back to what we said before, Amar Rabbi Yechon, I call Tzrichin Das. In all cases, when you bring a korban on somebody else's behalf, you need Das. Chutzim Mechutzer Kapara, except for the various Mechutzer Kapara. And we know that. Sharei Adam may be korban, Abon Abab, Noitzav Akhanim, because we see that a person is able to bring a korban of a Zav or a Zava on behalf of his children, of his little children.
Meaning that they don't have...
They don't have Das. Now, the point of the Gemara's next discussion is going to be like this. So what are you telling me? Now, you could have argued that fine, when there's no choice, they don't have das, so fine, you bring on their behalf. Does that necessarily prove that when the person does have das, you could still bring it on his behalf without him knowing? It seems that Rabbi Yochanan is saying yes. Rabbi Yochanan seems to be saying, once we have the precedent that you're able to bring a korban on behalf of your small children, then based on that, you can even bring it on behalf of an adult, even without his das. Why? Now, it's called dunin efsher mishi e efsher, that we're deducing from a case of e efsher where it's impossible any other way, because the zav is a child, we're deducing from it efsher the case where it would be possible, the person could have brought the korban on his own, or you could be bringing it with his dad, and yet Rabbi Yochanan is saying that's not necessary. That's Rabbi Yochanan is using the case of a cotton as a precedent.
But then you could argue that
That's what the Gemara is going to ask. Elameata, based on this, Yavi Adam Chatas Chelev Achavere, where by the same logic, a person should be able to bring a Chatas for Chelev, or any other Issu Chatas, should be able to bring a Chatas for his friend, without his Das. Shekeinot, maybe Alish De Shoita, because we see, after all, a person can bring a Chelev Chatas on behalf of his wife, who is a Shoita. Pir Rabbi Yehuda, like we said, Rabbi Yehuda said yesterday that a person brings a Korban Asher for his wife. So, and it doesn't, we said yesterday a korban yeledes, we're assuming the same thing could be true with a chatas. So if a person can bring a chatas on behalf of his wife with a shoita, shouldn't we say by precedent from that, and the same thing you can bring any other kind of chatas for anybody else? Alama, Amar Rabbi Elazar. So why does Rabbi Elazar say, Hifrish chatas chele b'chaveh lo yotekum? Why does Rabbi Elazar say that no, if a person sets aside a chatas of Chelev on behalf of his friend, then it doesn't count for anything. You can't bring somebody else's chatas with you, can't bring a chatas for somebody else without their dad. So why not? Now, Rabbi Akiva Eger asks the question, if he can bring it from his wife, that's what we're asking over here, yeah.
Same idea.
It's a similar idea, yeah. Now, Rabbi Akiva Eger and Julian Ashast asked the question, by the Mechusri Kapara, each one of them, we had a pasuk, Zois Toras. Where is there a pasuk by Chatas that says Zois Toras, that you should think the Darshan is a thing? So the Rosh Hashanah answers, yeah, there is. Torah achas yilachem lo'isa b'shkoga. So maybe the Gemara thought that maybe you could learn from that. But, okay.
Or
not really binyanav, because you could argue mechutz kapara is different, but okay, yeah. But we do have a pasuk. Okay, the answer is, no, ishte shoyta hechidami, because what are you talking about? You're saying a person can bring a chatas chelev on behalf of his wife who was a shoyta? How? Id achlaki shoyta, she's shoyta. If she ate the chelev while she's a shoyta, la bach chobani, then there's no chobani to be brought anywhere. Shoyta is part of the kol mitzvah. So there's no chatas to be brought. The id achlaki she pikachas v'nishtatis, or are we talking about that she ate it while she was pikachas, while she was normal, and then she became a shoyta? Then you still can't bring the korban. No, ocho chelev. If a person eats chelev, the hifrish korban, and he set aside the korban, v'nishtata, and then he became a shoyta, at which point he's potter from the korban because he's not able to bring it. V'chazav v'nishtapa, and then he became normal again. Potter. He's still, the korban still remains potter. The rule is hoyo v'nidcha yidacha. Once the animal was nidcha, once it was pushed aside from being a kosher korban because he was a shoyta, then it doesn't become kosher again. So you see from that, therefore, that if she was normal when she ate the chalev, and at that point he set aside the korban, he can't bring it when she's a shoyta. And according to what we just said, actually, he can't even bring it when she's normal again. He'd have to set aside a new korban.
So she needs that.
You would chose your nidas, exactly. So that's the point, in other words. So you can't say, since you're able to bring a chatas on behalf of somebody with no das, then you can also bring it on behalf of anybody else. You can't bring it on behalf of somebody with no das.
Or you could argue maybe this is the case when the das
changed. No, but that's neither here. No, but the point still remains. If a person is a shoita, once they became a shoita, the korban became possible. Incidentally, by the way, that's not the final halacha. The Rambam actually paskins that the korban is kosher in that case because balei chayim ein nidchin, that live animals can never be considered dichri, can never be considered pushed away permanently from being a korban. We talked about this in Yoma a lot. So as long as he's a shoita, he can't bring a korban. But so that point is still the Gemara's main point over here is still valid. You can't bring the korban as long as she's a shoita. But the detail that the Gemara is mentioning over here, that if she becomes normal again, he still can't bring that animal, that's not the halacha. The halacha is, in fact, you would be able to. It was balei chayim and a nidcha. But the point is, it was still nidcha as long as she was a shoita. There's no case when she's a shoita that you bring the korban. That's the main point the Gemara is making over here.
Because she is pater min ha-mitzvah.
That's the point. She is pater min.
Yeah, but in the other case, when the person is not pater min ha-mitzvah, but there's no doubt.
But that's the point. You don't have any example when it comes to zav and zava and yoldus, because a child is not chayv chatas either. There's no case that we can't find any case where a person can bring a chatas on behalf of his children or his wife when they're ketanim or shoytim, that then we should be able to generalize.
But why are you bringing carbonos on behalf of the children? In the case of Zavar,
it's because they're mechutz kapara. Without that, they can't eat kodshim.
Even for the children.
But because you want the children to be able to eat kodshim. You want the next time you bring shlamim, they should be able to eat from it.
All the ketanim is midaraisim.
Yeah.
So why can't one of the...
Because the chatas is different. The ketanim don't bring a chatas. Tanim aren't chayiv in mitzvahs. We're going to get to that in a minute, actually. So mechutzer kapara is different. They need to be able to eat kachim, but regular chatos is not. So they're not chayiv in chatos until they're bar mitzvah.
Tumah applies to them.
Tumah applies, yeah. Next case, the Gemara says, Elameata, still based on Rabbi Yochanan's logic that you're saying Bunin Efsher Mishi'i Efsher, that even though you can have a case, again, where a Zav or a Zava doesn't have Das, and you can bring a Korban on their behalf, therefore we can generalize from that you can bring to any Korban on behalf of any Zav or Zava, even if they're bad Das. By that logic, Elameata, Yavi Adam Pesach HaChaveri, a person should be able to bring a Pesach on behalf of his friend, without his knowledge, because we see a person who can bring a korban pesach on behalf of his minor sons or daughters. So why does Rabbi Elazar say that if a person sets aside a pesach having in mind his friend without his das, then it doesn't count? The answer is Amar Rav Zera. No, because when the pasuk says sell a base of it, the pasuk says that there has to be one sheep for each household, which is the, from there we learn the concept that everybody who's going to eat from a korban pesach has to be pre-registered for it, as we learned about in Sochim. But that concept as applied to children is not Daraisa. Meaning, when we say celibate avos, we mean any adult who wants to eat from the Kohen Pesach has to be pre-registered, but children don't have to. The children can eat from the Kohen Pesach even if they're not registered. So yes, there you have a Gzeres HaKasuv that says that that children you're able to have eat from the Kohen Pesach even if they're not registered for it, but adults not. So you can't you can't generalize from the children to the adults because the pasuk says celibate avos.
In any case, right, the minu is not really having das.
But it is. It includes that. It means that they have das to eat from this code, to be yotze with this code. No, not the children. That's the point.
That's
the point. The children you can have them eat from the code Pesach even though they without das. But right. But since you have celibate avos, so the Torah does not ask their children from eating from the Kohen Pesach.
But the rest of the children doesn't have to be counted, right?
That's what we're saying, yeah. B'chlal, we learned about this in Yevamos, that really children midaraisa don't have any chiyuvim in mitzvahs at all. The whole concept that children are chayiv in mitzvahs is drabanan, as a matter of chinuch. We wanted to argue that just like you can feed the Kohen Pesach to your children, even if they're not registered to it, so you can feed the Kohen Pesach without them having da, so also you can do for an adult. We're saying no. The celibate of it's lav d'oraisa. That when the pasuk says celibate of it, one sheep for every household, that the detail that children have to be included is not included in the din d'oraisa. They do need to. The fact that their father is shecht in the Kohen Pesach without their daf, that's good enough. But that doesn't apply to adults.
And again, that's not exactly. It doesn't apply to all other korbanim.
Right.
It's specific.
Well, okay, but we were arguing about a Kohen Pesach. Okay.
What was it? It was eight in the case of the other children, Mechusar Kapora.
Mechusar Kapora is different. You want them to eat from kodshim. If you don't bring the korban for them, they're not going to be able to eat from kodshim. So therefore, you bring the korban.
That's a specific reason.
Yeah.
Mechusar Kapara means they don't have...
It means their kapara has not been finished, meaning they're still not allowed to enter the Ezras Yisrael or eat kodshim until their korban is brought. Umimai, the Gemara says, how do we know this? How do we know that children do not have to be registered on the korban midaraisa, so that you're allowed to feed them the korban pesach even if it wasn't done with their das, which can't be done with their das, their children? Miditan, because we learn in a Mishnah in Pesachim, ha'olim levonav. If somebody says to his children, harini shoychet as a pesach al mishi yalikem rishin near Yerushalayim, I am going to be shechten korban pesach on behalf of whichever one of you gets to Yerushalayim first. So I'm going to Yerushalayim ahead of you. When I'm there, I'm going to shech the Kohen Pesach, and whichever one of you makes it into Yerushalayim first, he's the one I'm having in mind. Kivin shehichnis rishon roshe beruvei. Once the first one gets his head and most of his body into the gates of Yerushalayim, zocha b'chelko, then he's zocha at that point in his portion of the Kohen Pesach, u'mezakeh echav imoy, and he's also mezakeh his brothers together with him. The Ran explains what it means. That mezakeh lahem could be two possibilities. Either the father is mezakeh to all the other children as well, or this first brother who made it is, by being zeichen, he's mezakeh his brothers as well. Now, the amet celibate avos d'oraisa. If you were to argue that the din that you celibate avos, that you have to be registered for the Korban Pesach, is d'oraisa, even for children. So what? Al bisur koi. So what? He's standing over the shechted meat already. It's after the shechita, because that's what we said in the Mishnah. The father already shechted the Korban Pesach. Umezaki lehu. How then is he able to be mezaki his brothers? The whole din we learned in Pesachim extensively, that the concept of registering for a Korban Pesach, you can register and unregister only until the korban is shechted. Once it's shechted, it's too late to withdraw or to join in. And yet we see that after the father shechted the korban, nevertheless, at that point, the first son is able to be zoche in his portion, and the other brothers are able to be zoche in theirs. So, you see from that that the concept of minui, the concept of registering for the korban pesach, doesn't apply to children. So yes, they're able to eat from the korban pesach, even if maybe the father didn't have them in mind at the time of the shechita. Well, then the question is, so then why did the father say such a thing anyway? If all of them are going to wind up eating from the Korban Pesach, why b'chlal did he say such a thing? The answer is, k'dei l'zarez in b'mitzvahs. He wanted to be mezarez them. He wanted to encourage them, come as fast as possible. Tanya Hamichachi, we learn similarly.
Wait,
so in Tzachim it explains it a little bit differently. Wait,
well, the same idea.
Well, there's a slightly different angle that the Gemara brings over there. Wait. We learned similarly in Ibrahim. One time it happened that the daughters got to Yerushalayim ahead of the sons. And therefore, what came out, the daughters are the Zrizis, they're the ones who are quick to do the mitzvah, and the sons are the lazy ones, they're also ran. What we see from that, well, the point is, the Ibrahim does not say that the daughters got their share in the Korban Pesach and the sons didn't. Which implies all of them end up getting a share. Why? Because even though the father maybe didn't have the sons in mind at the time when he shechted it, nevertheless, since they're all little children, then it's okay. They're allowed to eat from the Korban Pesach even though they didn't have das. Now, you're mentioning the Gemara in Pesachim. The Gemara in Pesachim actually puts it a little bit differently. The Bach talks about it over here. There the Gemara explains that actually the father did have all of them in mind beforehand when he's getting ready to shecht. When he's getting ready to shecht the korban, he has in mind all of my children, whether they're in Yerushalayim yet or whether they're on their way, are all going to be included. He's trying to be mezarez them. He's trying to get them to hurry up. So therefore he tells them whichever is the first one is the one I'm having in mind. But really he has all of them in mind. So lechora, how can you prove from that, as our Gemara is trying to do, that the children are able to eat from it even without actually having been pre-registered. Lechora, according to what the Gemara is saying over there, all that he did have all of that in mind.
In Sojim, he had everybody in mind?
Yeah.
But
he was just telling them, because he was in the mitzvah, he's trying to tell them, hurry up. And, yeah. So the Bach leaves it Tzorach here. He says that the Tosfos asked, Tosfos and Tzachim there ask the same question that has the Gemara fit. Tosfos and Pesachim ask the same question, that our Gemara seems to contradict the Gemara over there. There the Gemara is saying that he did have all of them in mind from beforehand. Our Gemara is saying that he actually didn't have all of them in mind, but it's okay because they're children.
The children could eat from the korban, but the guests, Jewish guests, will not be able to.
Not unless he had them in mind before the Shrita.
Why the children?
That's the thing. So our Gemara is saying, because children are not chayiv midoraita anyway, so therefore they don't. The seller base of it doesn't really include them. But it includes
those.
No, of course it goes. If the father has the children in mind, there's no question they can eat. Our Gemara is saying, even if he doesn't have them in mind, because in order to be mechanech them in mitzvah, you still are allowed to give them from the Korban Pesach, even though they weren't registered.
Having them in mind helps.
So having them in mind, that's what we're saying. Our Gemara is saying, even though they don't have da'af, the fact that you have them in mind helps. With an adult, it has to be both. You have to have them in mind, and they have to have da'af. Our Mishnah continued, Torah as Trumah. So Vecholah, we said that the person who you're not allowed to have Amnah from is still allowed to give Trumah on your behalf. So now they had a question. What does this mean? Actually, before we get to what this means, the Chachamim had a basic question. If one person is giving truma from his own produce on behalf of somebody else's, so you have Reuven has a pile of grain, he's not doing truma and maaser. So Shimon figures, you know what? I'll do him a favor. I'll take some of my grain, of the same type of grain, and I'll give truma and maaser on his behalf.
That's the question.
So tzarich das oloy? Does it require Reuven das or not?
The one who doesn't bring it, does
Shimon have to inform Reuven before he does this? Mi aminin given this chusi loy loy tzarech das. Do you say, like you were saying before, Yaakov, that since the chus for him, you don't need das? Zochem lo adam shloy b'fanav. A duma mitzvah dilehu. Or maybe no, it is his mitzvah after all. He's the one that's supposed to be giving truma. V'nichaloy l'mavdei. He would rather. Maybe it's not considered a chus for him. Yes, I'm gaining that I don't actually have to give some of my grain away as truma, but I'm losing the mitzvah. Maybe he would prefer to have the mitzvah. So maybe it is, maybe it's not a chutz for him for you to be doing it on his behalf. Maybe you tell him, fine, he agrees. But if you don't tell him, maybe no good.
Because he didn't do it himself.
Yeah.
But he loses the mitzvah, he's a truma, but
that's not considered. Maybe then you're not considered as shliach to do that. If you say it's a matter of zochen l'adam shloi b'fanav, he doesn't have to be your shliach, but you don't have to appoint him a shliach. But if it's a chayiv, then you do. There's also another idea also that besides the fact of the mitzvah, there's also the idea one of the mafreshim says that theoretically, you theoretically, min ha-Torah, you can be yotze truma with one grain of wheat. So therefore, that's another argument that maybe you're giving truma, you're giving 1/50th or whatever the normal amount is, but maybe the guy would have said, you know what, if I were doing it on my own, I'd just give the one grain a week. Yeah. Okay. Toshma. Okay, no, it's a midrabbanan, you're not supposed to do that, but yeah. Toshma, well, come, let's prove from our Mishnah. Torah truma is the best master of the dietary. Our Mishnah had said that the one who you mudah hanah from is able to take off your truma and your meiser with your das. So what do we mean taking off truma and ma'aser, and what do we mean yudas? But my askinon, what are we talking about? Ilema min balakri al shal balakri. Do we mean then that you're taking that Shimon who Reuven is mudah hanah from Shimon? He's not allowed to have hanah from Shimon. So what are we saying? Maybe are we talking about that Shimon goes over to Reuven's pile of wheat and takes out one portion of it of truma? Then we have to ask, well, l'dayt d'man. Well, whose das is it that's necessary? Ilema l'dayt d'delay. Do you mean just with your own das? Shimon is just doing it on his own without consulting with Reuven. That doesn't work. Man shav yishliach. Who made him a shliach? You can't give truma out of somebody else's produce without his das. That's for sure. The whole concept of you giving truma out of his own produce is a matter of shlichus. Shlichus requires his das. Elo the dice of the balakri. You're going to say you're doing it with the das of the owner of Reuven. Then it's hanah. You're doing his shlichus. He will have appointed you a shliach. You're doing it. That would be hanah. And we established already that that's also
because
of the neder. Yeah. Ela mishaloy al shal balakri. So no, we have to say then what presumably is the Mishnah talking about, that Shimon takes some of his own grain and gives it as truma on behalf of Reuven. So he doesn't touch Reuven's pile of grain at all. He goes over to his own pile, and his own pile, by the way, also still has to be tevel. It can't be that his own pile already took truma and ma'aser from, because otherwise you're taking min ha-poter al-chayim, and he can't do that. But his own grain he hasn't yet taken truma from anyway. So he takes some out and designates it as truma and ma'aser on behalf of Reuven. Well, then again, let's ask. Fine, if that's what it means, tertum as truma, it means that Shimon is taking his own produce and giving the truma on behalf of Reuven. Okay, then you have to ask what it means l'daita. Then you're back to the question.
Lamed vav.
Then you're back to the question, Uladaita Deman. Whose das are we talking about? Again, Ilaim Ladaita de Balakri. Are we talking about that you have the das of the owner of the pile of grain? Hakamahanile, then you're back to the problem that you're doing it with his das, as his shliach. That means you're giving him ana, and that's also. Elo lav Ladaita de Nafshe. It must mean that Shimon is doing it only based on his own das. So in other words, so far, we would have to understand the line in the Mishnah when it says, Turdom es trumoisav es masreisav ladaitai, it would mean that Shimon, based on his own das, without even consulting with Reuven, is able to take off from his own grain and give truma on behalf of Reuven, without Reuven knowing about it. Umishaloi turdom es shachaberei. He's giving from his own on behalf of his friend. So v'iyam tzarech das. So if you're going to tell me that you need Reuven's das in order for that to work, hakamahani le, then still it's going to be you're giving him anah.
And if he doesn't know, how can he get anah?
No, that's the point. If you're going to say it requires his das, then that means he appointed you a shliach. Well, then it's with his. Then it's anah. Obviously, it has to be you're doing it without his das. So that would answer the question that yes, if Shimon is giving his own grain as truma, he doesn't have to inform Reuven. We don't say Reuven would have rather done the mitzvah himself. We say zoch and ladam shalai b'fanav. Elolav ain't tzarech das. So doesn't that mean that you don't need das? The Ran, by the way, says that maybe you don't need that line elolav ain't tzarech das because we pretty well explained it already from the previous line. Yeah, okay. The answer is no. No, you could say, not necessarily. The Mishnah may be talking about that actually Shimon goes over to Reuven's pile of grain and takes part of it out as truma. And what would be the case? I mean, how could you do that without his das? And if you're doing it with his das, then that's enough. The answer is kid amar Rava. You could answer like Rava answers a little later, a little further down the Amud. But Omer, that there could be a case where Reuven said, anybody who wants to take truma out of my pile of grain, go ahead and do that. I'm not specifically appointing anybody as a shliach, but anybody who wants, go ahead and do it.
That's the guy who did the neder.
The guy who did the neder, Reuven, who is also b'ana in Shimon. Announces anybody who wants to come and give and go over to my pile of grain and give truma out of it for me, go ahead and do that.
But I assume that this is kavona.
That's what he said. So the same thing could be over here. So what happens then? Given that Reuben made that announcement, now Shimon does not have to be explicitly appointed a shliach by Reuben, because effectively what it is anybody who anybody who goes and does that is doing it with Reuben's consent. So he doesn't have to inform Reuben without official shlichus. Exactly, it's sort of a quasi shlichus, but not enough.
It's a kind of shlichus,
but not really.
No, it's not.
He announces.
Okay, wait. The Ran distinguishes. There's three possibilities what Reuben could have said, and depending which one he said is going to make a difference in this. There's three possibilities. One is he could have said anybody who hears me making this announcement, please go take Truma. Now we learned a similar concept in Ksubas. We learned a concept that you can have a husband who announces Kol Hashemea Koli Yizun. Anybody who hears me making this announcement, please go support my wife. And we learned over there that actually then the husband is on the hook to reimburse this person because
that is considered shlichus.
Just like if he says anybody who hears my voice,
anyone
who hears my voice, please go and do this,
that is a
shlichus. The same way as by gittin, there's a similar din which we learned there by gittin. If a person is, for example, in a pit where he can't get out, he's about to die over there, so he calls out, anybody who hears my voice, please go write a get for my wife. They can do that. Even though a get can only be written by a designated shliach, the fact that he said, anybody who hears my voice, do this, is the equivalent of appointing them a shliach. So in our case, over here, if Reuben were to have said, anybody who hears me, go give truma, that would be considered appointing Shimon a shliach. Then it would be also.
But he
then
said anybody who wants.
Anybody who, that's the key difference. That's the key difference. Because he said, anybody who wants, go do that. That's considered an intermediate thing.
Right.
Then there's a third possibility that Ran said. There could have also been a third possibility, which we discussed there in Ksubas. He could have said, anybody who takes truma from my grain won't lose out.
What it means is
I'll reimburse it. But saying that is not considered appointing a shliach at all. That's the thing. So they're not distinguishes. So you have... No, that's the thing. He's saying that anybody who does that won't lose out. That's not considered making a shlichus at all.
It's not a commandment.
Yeah. So if you say, the same way as we learned over there, that we said, kol azon enimaksid, if the husband announces anybody who supports my wife won't lose out, it's not considered a shlichus. And if somebody goes and takes it up and goes and supports the wife, the husband is taken not on the hook to repay him. Because he can argue, I never made you a shlichus to do it. So we have three cases. Kol atorim enimaksid is not considered shlichus at all. On the other hand, kol ashamer koli yitraim is considered complete shlichus. Our case over here, call a roitz litrim. Anybody who wants to give the truma, go and give truma. That's an intermediate thing. That's what we're saying over here. It's enough of a shlichus that if the person does it, he doesn't have to inform Reuben, and it's considered a truma, but not enough that it's considered to have actually fulfilled Reuben's shlichus, and therefore that should be considered a hanach. It's a weak shlichus, basically, yeah. Okay, now the Gemara has a related question. Bominator of Yumi and Zera. So now going back to this case where Shimon takes some of his own produce and gives it as truma on behalf of Reuben, who did the Tovas Hanah belong to? Tovas Hanah, we talked about before, is like this. When you give truma, you have the right to give it to any kohen you want. Now, what could happen? Theoretically, a kohen himself might want to give you a few dollars as incentive that you'll give him your truma. The kohen is not allowed to do that. If he does that, actually, he's being mechala, it's called shichatem bris halevi. You're desecrating the bris that the Eibishter made to the kohenim and levim. You're not allowed to, the kohenim are not even really supposed to ask verbally for the truma. You're supposed to give it to them. But you could have...
He's not supposed to give you money in exchange.
He's not supposed to give you money or anything in exchange. Because he might want to say, I'll give you a dollar and you'll give me your truma.
That's what happened in the standard via coin.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. But there's also, for example, we learned in Yevamos, the Kohen can't go and help out in the granary in exchange for the Terumah. Okay, with all that, though, now you can have a case where a Yisrael has a grandson who's a Kohen, where his daughter married a Kohen, so the Yisrael is allowed to offer you money in order or goods or whatever that you should give the Terumah to his grandson. That's allowed, as long as it's not the Kohen himself doing it. That kind of thing is called Tovas Hanah. So if Shimon is taking some of his own grain and giving this Terumah on behalf of Reuben, And now a Yisrael comes and says, you know what, if you give this truma to my grandson, I'll give you a dollar. That's who gets that dollar, Shimon or Reuben? The truma is being given on behalf of Reuben's grain. It's Reuben who has the chiyuv, but it's Shimon who's giving the truma. So Tovus Hanal Shami. Mi Aminen, do we argue Ilav Peter de Eich? Can we argue that if it weren't for Shimon's Peter, Mi Metachna Kauyadahu, then Reuben's pile of grain would not have had truma taken out of it. Therefore, the dollar should go to Shimon. Aduma Ilav Kauyadahu, I haven't paid it out of truma. Or you could argue the other way around. Without Reuben's pile not having had truma taken out from it yet, Shimon wouldn't be able to give truma on his behalf. So therefore, the Tovus Hanal should go to Reuben.
Reuben taken from the Shimon's pile.
Well, right? Shimon is taken from Reuben's pile. No. Shimon is taken from his own pile and giving it to the Kohen in order to be Moisi Reuben's pile.
Then why?
If it weren't for Reuben's pile, then wouldn't. Amalei, so Reb Zera answers, yeah, Amak, listen, Amak Kro, the Pasuk says, Es kol tevor asarecha v'nasata, the Pasuk says, actually in connection with Ma'aseh Sheni, that all the produce of your seeds, and a few psukim later it says you should give. So the simple meaning you should give is talking about what you do with Ma'aseh Sheni money. But we darshan it to mean that that whoever is the one who owns the tevor, whoever is the one who owns the pile of grain, in this case Reuven, he's the one who's entitled to give the truma to whoever he wants, and therefore he should be entitled to the tevor sana. The Rosh has a different gear set, different pasuk in connection with Okay.
It makes sense because how could he do it otherwise?
Yeah, okay.
He didn't own the pile.
Okay, but you could argue that Shimon is the one giving the truma. So now, okay, wait. Eisvei. So Rabbi Yirmiyah asks him, wait, I have a braisa that says, not a braisa, our Mishnah says, Torah mas truma, it's a ves master, it's a vadaitai. It says that you can give, that Shimon can take off truma and meiser for Reuben with his das. Now, we discussed before who's das, but actually this part of the Gemara, actually this discussion between Reb Yirmiyah and Reb Zera happened before the previous discussion. So Reb Yirmiyah and Reb Zera don't know yet of all of that discussion that we had trying to figure out who's das.
In other words, the guy who's going to give the truma can ask.
Well, wait.
Who owns the pile?
Let's see. The E Amr Tovus Hanah de Balakri. Now, if you're going to tell me that the Tovus Hanah belongs to the owner of the pile, that's a Hanah, well then, how come a Hanile? Luchura, then, if it means that Shimon, if you're telling me when Shimon is taking, at this point, we're assuming that Torah of Trumoisav es Masroisav Daitai means that Shimon is taking from his grain and giving it as Truma on behalf of Reuben. With or without, Rapashtus, again, without informing him, because if it informs him, then it's Shlichos, and that's a whole other problem. But still, even if he doesn't inform him, we just said that Tovus Hanah belongs to Reuben. So the very fact that Shimon himself is taking grain and giving it a truma, that itself creates a Tovus Hanah that Reuben is now able to have. So he's giving him Hanah. Elo Shmamina Tovus Hanah delay. So shouldn't you argue then that the Tovus Hanah belongs to Shimon, and that way, by taking truma out of his grain, he's not giving Reuben any Hanah? Amri, so they answered, Loi, Mishal Balakri, Al Shabalakri. No, you can answer that it doesn't mean that Shimon's taking out of his own grain. It means he's taking out of Reuben's pile on behalf of Reuben. How does he do it without the problem of Shlichos and therefore the problem of giving Hana? Uladaita de Balakri, he's doing it with the das of the owner of the pile, Reuben. But Omer, like we said before, Koloraita Litrim Yavav Yitrim. This is the same answer that Rava gave before. We said before, Kida Omer Rava, like Rava answered, that was the thing. When this discussion between Reb Yirmiyah and Reb Zera came up, then Rava answered that you could say, you could say that the case we're talking about is where he says, Koloraita Litrim Yavav Yitrim. And in that case, that's what our Mishnah is talking about. So you can't prove from that about the Tovus Hanah business. Later on, Rava used the same answer in the previous discussion where we were trying to figure out what it means, where it means that he's giving truma and who is that. Okay, Toshma, come, let's bring another proof. The Amar Rav Abba, Amar Rav Yechanan. Rav Abba tells us in the name of Rav Yechanan that you have a case, besides for the case of truma we're talking about over here, you have another case where you can have two people who have a certain share in a matter of hekdesh, namely a korban. You can have a case where Reuben is chayav a korban. We said on Amud Aleph that if Reuben is chayav a korban and Shimon wants to bring it on his behalf, it requires das, it requires Reuben's consent. But if there's that consent, then fine, you can do that. Shimon can take an animal and be makdish it on behalf of Reuben, as long as Reuben agrees. Now, which one is considered the owner of the animal then for this purpose? Shimon, because it was originally his animal and he's the one who declared it hekdesh, or Reuben, because it's being brought on his behalf? So it depends. Hamakdish Moisif Chomish, when it comes to if you want to redeem the animal, if it developed a mum and you want to buy it back from Hekdish, the one who made it Hekdish is the one who, if he buys it back, has to add the 25%. He's considered for that purpose the owner of the animal.
Shimon.
Shimon, not Reuven then. Even though the korban is being brought on, was supposed to be brought on behalf of Reuven, but Shimon is the one who would be on the hook for 25%. On the other hand, with Skaper Oisa Tamura, on the other hand, Reuven is the one who would be able to make a Tamura with it. But Tamura is not be able to, as in it's allowed. It's not allowed, but it's allowed in the Torah. But the Torah says that if you exchange an animal or a korban for another one, then v'hayahu tamurasa yekodesh, both the original animal and the substitute both become kodesh, and the person who did the Tamura also gets malchus because it's an isulav. Who is able to make a Tamura? Only the owner of the animal. If you have a korban, which you were makdish and you bring on behalf of yourself, and I say I want to exchange this for another animal, nothing happens. In this case over here, because I don't own it. You own it.
If you own an
animal for a korban, and I say this animal is being exchanged for that one, nothing happens. That's not considered tamura. In this case, Shimon was makdish the animal on behalf of Reuven. Reuven is the one who's considered the owner of it as far as tamura. So if Shimon were to say, I'm exchanging it for another animal, nothing happens. But if Reuven says, then it becomes tamura.
They both own the animal.
Well, if they both own it, but Shurtfus actually, then tamura is not possible. Tamura does not apply to an animal that's owned by Shurtfus. And one more, Rav Abohu says, Rav Yechanan says, V'atorim mishaloya, she'ena shaloya, somebody who gives Shruma from his produce on behalf of somebody else's, Tovas Hanah shaloya, and the Tovas Hanah belongs to him. So not like Rav Beda tried to prove before from the pasuk that it belongs to Reuven. No, it in fact belongs to the owner of the pile of grain. No, it belongs to Shimon, the one who's taking from his produce to give it to him.
That's in which case?
That's the case we're talking about. That Shimon is taking some of his own produce, giving it to Truma on behalf of Reuven. He has the Tovas Hanah. If Yisrael wants to go and offer some money that he should give the Truma to his grandson, then the person he'll offer that money to is Shimon, not Reuven. And therefore, the maskana is that from this situation over here, that in fact, if you want to give truma from your own produce on behalf of somebody else's, it does not require das. It does not require ruining das. And the Tovas Hanah goes to Shimon.
Yeah. The non-owner.
The one who's giving the truma, right? And, yeah.